Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. We are glad you are here with us today. So, we have some special guests with us today. Today's worship service is actually sponsored by the Summer Institute Committee on Ministry, and two of the members of that committee are here today for the service. We have Melissa Jeter and David Strickler, both of who are from the First Unitarian Church of Toledo. Unfortunately, there are two other members who are not able to come here today, but I want to acknowledge them as part of the committee that put together today's service. Another member is Cindy France, who's a member at the UU Fellowship of Oberlin, and the Reverend Joan Van Biesler. I knew I was going to say that wrong, so who's on the Congregational Life Staff for the Central East Region. And for anybody who's going, what the heck is a Summer Institute? Summer Institute, or SI as we call it, is a week-long summer camp for adults and children that happens every July, and many people from our church go to it, so it's easy for you to get more information if you've never been. Lots of people can tell you about it. But the mission of this particular, this SI Committee on Ministry, is to build awareness of restorative practices so that congregations and other covenantal groups will use these approaches to maintain and restore faith communities. So, and if you have your interest piqued by this service, you'll notice in your order of service there's an announcement for a training that's happening here in this church, actually, on Saturday, March 10th. That's all about restorative practices. So again, I bid you welcome.
I have these words, this prayer for connection, for the chalice lighting. As we light our chalice, we recognize in ourselves the burning desire to create relationships that sustain us during times of joy, sadness, anger, conflict, and misunderstanding. We come together as seekers, yet curious, yet fearful, willing, yet full of thoughts from the past. Today, we will begin again, taking small steps that, like a drop of rain, will descend into a pool of water, creating ripples that spread ever outward. Let us be open and focused on how we can build a new way. Thank you.
Good morning. Come into the circle of community. Come into this sacred space. Be not tentative. Bring your whole self. Bring the joy that makes your heart sing. Bring your kindness and your compassion. Bring also your sorrow, your pain. Bring your brokenness, your disappointments. Spirit of love and mystery, help us to recognize the spark of the divine that resides within each of us. May we know the joy of wholeness. May we know the joy of being together.
I have a story for you today. Once there was a little girl who was queen of an island. One day, an advisor said to her, "Your Majesty, the people on this island are good, but we must be aware of the people on the next island, for they are our enemies." "Our enemies?" responded the queen. "How terrible." "Yes, it is terrible," said the advisor, "for our little island will never be safe while we have enemies. We must find a way to get rid of our enemies." "You're quite right," said the queen. "Do you have any ideas?" "I do indeed," said the advisor. "We can take our army, put it on a ship, sail it to the other island, and then our army can march on the shore and destroy the enemy." The queen was not so sure this was a good idea. "Thank you for sharing your ideas," said the queen. "But I need some more time to think about it all. Can I call you back tomorrow?" "Yes, Your Majesty," said the advisor. And he bowed and left the room. The next day, when the advisor returned to talk to the queen, he was shocked to find her having tea with the queen of the next island. The advisor turned red with anger. "How can you sit there and drink tea with that person?" he shouted. "She is our enemy. We must get rid of our enemies." The queen looked at her advisor with eyes that were calm and steady. "You have been a good advisor, and you were right. We have to get rid of our enemies. You would have me destroy my enemies by conquering them with an army. But the best way to get rid of your enemies is to make them your friends."
Please join me for a moment of prayer. In a world so filled with brokenness and sorrow, it would be easy to lose ourselves in never-ending grief, to be choked by our outrage, to be paralyzed by the enormity of suffering, to feel our hearts squeezed tight with hopelessness. Instead, this morning, let us simply breathe together as we hold our hearts open, breathing in as our hearts fill with compassion, breathing out as we pray for healing in our world and in our lives, breathing in, opening ourselves to the transforming power of love, breathing out as we pray for peace in our world and in our lives, breathing in as we hold hope in our hearts, breathing out as we pray for justice in our world and in our lives. May we know our strength. May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into this world. Amen. Blessed be. May it ever be so.
This reading from Margaret Wheatley. Relationships are all there is. Everything in the universe only exists in relationship to everything else. Nothing exists in isolation. We have to stop pretending we are individuals who can go it alone. We humans want to be together. We only isolate ourselves when we're hurt by others. But alone is not our natural state. Today, we live in an unnatural state, separating ourselves rather than being together. A story of failed community. Once upon a time, in a congregation nowhere near here, in a district far away, Stacy discovered the local UU church and started attending regularly, along with her small children. For the first few Sundays, those children were a bit shy and clingy. One Sunday, after coffee hour, Stacy grabbed a snack and sat down at a table with someone from the welcoming committee. "Hi, what brings you to church today?" Their conversation began. Meanwhile, Stacy's children had been released from religious education. They were so excited about the new story they heard about the queen, and they ran around in fellowship hall and crowns, talking in funny accents at their friends. Chris, a longtime church member, smiled as she saw the children laughing and playing. Soon, a few parents gathered their children who were playing and directed them to get some food. Stacy's children followed the other kids. Stacy noticed that the kids seemed to be having fun and connecting, so Stacy relaxed a bit and rejoined the conversation. When Stacy's children saw the delights on the food table, their eyes widened and their stomachs rumbled. It was lunchtime. "Where is our person?" one said. The other kid shrugged their shoulders and handed their sibling a plate. They began to put their tiny little hands on the table and grabbed up cheese and crackers and all by themselves, and they even tried to cut a piece of cake. Chris noticed the difficulty they were having cutting the cake and came over and helped them. She smiled. "Are you hungry? Do you want some cake?" They both looked up at her with their big round eyes and nodded their heads. Dylan, a longtime member who had just had a few treats from the food table, saw some other kids running around at the other end of the fellowship hall and thought, "Who do they belong to? And where are their parents?" Dylan commented to a friend, "I just hope nobody gets hurt. Parents really need to pay attention to their children." Later that day, Dylan commented on the congregational Facebook group, "Great worship service and a large crowd today, though coffee hour is packed with kids and hectic." Stacy, who had recently been added to the Facebook group, saw the comment about coffee hour. Though her children were not singled out, she felt her stomach drop and her heart race. At that moment, Stacy felt unwelcome and decided not to attend this church again.
The previous story was sad, but it's a simple illustration of how a religious community might fail. So how does a successful religious community operate? Perhaps you've heard the term beloved community. Perhaps you've seen it in print with a capital B and a capital C and wondered, what is the significance of that term? The term beloved community was coined in the early 20th century, but it was popularized in the 50s and 60s by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He imbued it with a deep meaning in his global vision for society. As a starting point, Dr. King envisioned a beloved community of love and justice where the races would be reconciled and the deep and terrible wounds of racism healed, as he illustrated in his famous "I Had a Dream" speech. According to one of Dr. King's well-known quotations, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied into a single garment of destiny. Thus, his conception of beloved community was not limited to racial integration. It encompassed all aspects of our society. Although beloved community might seem like an ideal, It is not a lofty utopian goal to be confused with that image that you've seen of the peaceable kingdom with the lions and lambs lying down in idyllic harmony. Rather, beloved community was, for Martin Luther King, a realistic, achievable goal that could be attained by a critical mass of people committed to and trained in this philosophy. And the methods of nonviolence provided the means to attain it. To have beloved community, we must first embody it ourselves individually. Start by breathing in compassion for yourself, and then continue to breathe out, to breathe life into the broken and fragmented world around us. Some specific suggestions include: listen emotionally to foster empathy and compassion for others, resolve conflicts peacefully without violence or verbal abuse, recognizing that peacefully doesn't always mean comfortably. Acknowledge conflict or pain in order to work on difficult issues. Release resentment and bitterness through spiritual, physical, and psychological self-care. These techniques towards beloved community recognize our common human failings and provide ways to minimize the effects of those failings. When we act and speak with compassion, compassion makes us whole. When we are so ill at ease with poverty, hunger, homelessness, racism, bigotry, prejudice, a vision of greater inclusion becomes realistic. UU minister Richard Gilbert described beloved community as a humanistically oriented substitute for the kingdom of God, which creates a poetic metaphor to describe not theological salvation in the next world, but social salvation in this world. Mr. Gilbert built on Dr. King's metaphor of beloved community by saying, a constellation of values to be lived out by the individual and the religious community in wider society, a seamless garment of spirituality and social action. Melissa now has a poetic reading for us entitled Before the Isms.
Before the isms, there was an act. And that act violated the esteem of another. And that person was humiliated. So the humiliated person, feeling low and without esteem, acted from a place of pain and projected that pain onto the world. And so there was pain. Pain that existed in the people of the world. Each person lacking in esteem in their own particular way acting. Each person in some particular and peculiar way that was associated with their pain. Some people in pain sought money and would do anything base and or profane to get it. People in pain were affected by those peculiar ways to seek money. People in pain worked from sunup to sundown with barely any rest. People in pain lashed out onto the backs of others, brothers, sisters, neighbors. People in pain told themselves all kinds of stories to try to ease their pain. Legends, myths, lies, gossip. They talked about acts that happened. They talked about acts they wanted to happen. They talked about acts that never happened. They exaggerated the acts of the people in pain. They judged, misjudged, prejudged, and underestimated the acts of the people in pain. They talked about heroes, heroines, victims, and tyrants. They talked about each other in big, bold words and in hushed, small whispers. They talked to everyone. They talked about themselves to themselves. They talked to everyone. They talked to no one. They told so many stories that there were people who told stories about the stories. But the pain never completely went away. And for generations upon generations upon generations, up through the present, people in pain projected that pain onto the people in the world. The act that had started it was all forgotten. So a few of the people in pain, in attempts to ease the pain, became seekers. Not knowing for what it was that was sought, dignity, wholeness, esteem, for their own distinct selves. So great was the pain of the people in the world. But how could such chaos exist? How do we get to this chaos in the world and in our congregations?
How many of you have heard of Kid President or seen Kid President on YouTube? So Kid President is a young man by the name of Robbie Novak. And Robbie has brittle bone disease. Robbie and his brother-in-law have been making this series of Kid President videos for 6 years, started when Robbie was 7. So I think it's really remarkable how this young man has turned his physical energy challenge into a series of intelligent, insightful commentaries on society and life that I would be proud to have made if I, as an adult. So we're going to watch one called How to Disagree with People. So Kid President said, stop, breathe, love, or pause, breathe, love, I'm sorry. So what I want you to do is take a minute, turn to your neighbor or neighbors, and talk about, identify a situation in which pause, breathe, love may have helped you. So find a neighbor, talk about it, we'll share, maybe, and then you can take the rest of coffee hour. They're not ready. Brad's ready, though. Maybe if I just... Okay, that's a sign. All right, let's see if we can come back together. It's always hard to bring UUs together to a quiet point. So how many of you had time to fully discuss your situations? Okay, good. You can take them to coffee hour. We have a little bit of time. Does anybody want, we have one or two people, maybe if you want to share an observation about pause, breathe, love, specific observation or addition to that thought?
Our observation, and this applies to our relationship, is that we definitely need to practice that for the first, before we have coffee in the first 15 minutes after the first.
Right. Pause, breathe, coffee, love. Got it. Okay. Anyone else want to share something? All right, well, thank you. Thank Melissa.
We will now return to our story. Stacy, the parent who wanted connection, interpreted the Facebook comment to be directed at her kids or at her lapse of supervision. Perhaps Stacy could have paused before concluding that she and her children weren't welcome. Perhaps she could have reached out to the membership committee or the DRE for advice. Perhaps Stacy could have expressed her anxiety to someone. Dylan, the longtime member, was actually concerned that one of those active kids might inadvertently bump into his spouse, who was a bit unsteady due to recent surgery. Perhaps Dylan could have paused before posting his vague worry and expressed his specific concern to the minister or committee on shared ministry. Perhaps Dylan could have stated his need to feel that the physical safety of his partner was not at risk. This simple story illustrates how a seemingly small misunderstanding within a congregation can lead to a more serious problem. The pause, breathe, love approach on the part of Stacy and/or Dylan might have helped the situation. Compassionate communication is a basic skill that helps us live into covenant. It starts with sharing feelings resulting from a hurtful event and requires listening to each other. If the situation had involved a larger group or a more complex issue, then a different restorative process with a trained facilitator may have been required. Nevertheless, this larger process, the restorative peace circle, relies on the same individual practices, stating your feelings and needs, and carefully listening to the feelings and needs of others in the circle. The circle provides a vessel to encourage us to pause, breathe, and love. Our goal is to promote the basic practices so that we can address the issues effectively before a trained facilitator is needed. Don't reach for a buzzsaw when you want a fingernail file. But also know that we have lots of other tools between the fingernail file and the buzzsaw, beginning with our own breath and our ability to love. In a world so filled with brokenness and sorrow,
it would be easy to lose ourselves in never-ending grief.
But may we hold our hearts open.
May we know our strength.
May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into this world. Go in peace.